Thank you for singing, Karen, this morning. I didn't introduce those that are leading us in music this morning, Karen Motlock and also Colleen Schultz. Thanks for being here today and leading us. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The basis of my message this morning is our continued journey with Joseph through Genesis. Today is the concluding that journey with our text from Genesis chapter 45. The score was 60-59 of the basketball game. It's March Madness. I can talk about basketball today. I'm permitted. There was 8 seconds left in the game. The shooter for the team that was losing by 1 point stepped to the free throw line to shoot the two free throws. Now, none of that sounds really unusual to any of us. We know tight games and free throws that can win the game. We know how that works. It was an intense moment. The cheerleaders stopped moving and really focused on the outcome of those free throws. The coaches stopped pacing up and down the sidelines, and they were kind of strategizing what would happen if he made both free throws. The crowd kind of went still to let the shooter shoot the free throws. We know that scenario. We watch basketball, and it's exciting. We've seen it before. But there was one unusual aspect of this moment that's probably never been repeated before. See, the shooter shooting the free throws, high schooler named Matt Stevens, lived in Darby, Pennsylvania, was blind shooting the free throws. Matt Stevens, you see, was born with some sight challenges that ultimately led to a detached retina in his left eye. In second grade, he had to have that eye removed, which led to another detached retina in his right eye, which meant at fifth grade, that eye had to be removed. Now, why would you have a blind person shoot free throws in such an intense moment? Matt Stevens had a big brother. His name was Joe. Joe would go out onto the court and with a cane tap the rim, tap, 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 so that his brother could hear what direction to shoot and location. His big brother Joe, you see, had taught him how to ride a bike, how to play soccer, how to do all sorts of activities. And night after night, big brother Joe took his brother Matt out onto the court and tap, tap, tapped on that rim over and over again until muscle memory took effect and Matt could shoot those free throws. Big brother Joe went further than that. You see, before the game, he approached all the players on both teams, approached both coaches, and approached the referees and convinced them to allow his blind brother to shoot the free throws for that team in the game. What a great big brother. Matt dribbled. I've done it many times before. Took a deep breath. Shot. Swish. Tie score, 60-60. Awesome. Matt took a second deep breath. Dribbled. Set the shot. Shot it. Swish. 61-60. The other team didn't have enough time to get a shot off, and the buzzer sounded. Matt and Joe's team won the game. Isn't that a cool story? True story. Darby, Pennsylvania, Matt Stevens. What a difference it makes to have a big brother. Isn't it great to have a big brother? Some of you may have experienced that in your life. Maybe you didn't experience having a big brother to take care of you. You know, when you go to lunch and you're just out of money, that big brother comes and says, I'll take you to lunch. I'll take care of you. Or when you're just confused about how life is going and their life struggles really consume you, the big brother comes over and gives you their arm and they hug you and they just calm you and still you. Now, we're at one of those moments here in Genesis chapter 45, one of the most intimate passages, by the way, in the entire Bible, when Joseph reveals himself to his brothers. And let's just reveal here for a moment where we're at here in Genesis 45. You see, they've been separated for 10 years. They don't really know each other quite yet. Many years before this moment in Genesis 45, at 17 years old, Joseph was sent away by his family. They decided they didn't want him to be a part of the family. He was sold into slavery, taken down to Egypt, into forced labor, but it was even worse than that. He was accused falsely and sent into prison, but during that time, Joseph rose and became the second most powerful person on the planet. In a way, you could say he was the prince of Egypt. And in this moment, as Karen read here, this is in the second year of a seven-year famine. When the brothers come back to Joseph, they think he's a goner. They think that time period is all gone, way in the past. And in this moment, Joseph reveals himself to his brothers that he is the prince of Egypt. Is this good news or is this bad news? In other words, is Joseph going to be that big brother that's going to care for them, or is he going to seek revenge and knock them off? Or is Joseph going to do this? Is Joseph going to treat most of them like a good big brother, but then get revenge on a few of them? Like I could imagine Joseph going after Simeon and Levi, for example. You know what their nicknames were? The Sons of Violence. I could see Joseph going after Judah. Judah was the one who sold him into slavery, ultimately to the Ishmaelites in Genesis, I believe, chapter 37.